Athens, England on Wednesday.
We have to deal with that. We have to be men and take it on the chin. We deserve it. We let them down in the summer. So, yeah, we have to get on with that, and hopefully with time we can show them that we are a good team.
And Roger Federer has been back on court for the first time since his early Wimbledon exit. The World and Olympic 100 and 200 metre champion Usain Bolt has been ruled out for the rest of the season with a back injury. Bolt was beaten into second place by Tyson Gay last Friday in the Diamond League meeting in Stockholm. He was scheduled to race against Gay and Asafa Powell in Brussels at the end of the month. Wayne Walker is a journalist and broadcaster in Jamaica. He knows Usain Bolt very well. My colleague John Bennett asked him if news of Bolt's latest injury had disappointed the sprinter's Jamaican fans.
The reality is professional sports people do get injured from time to time, and the fact that Usain had to leave the circuit earlier this season, Jamaica was already dealing with that bit of disappointment. And I don't know, you get the impression that people are not worried about the fact that he got off. They think that, you know, it's the best thing for him to do. The only disappointment in all of this is that he's not going to avenge the defeat to Tyson Gay this season, because I can tell you, on Independence Day in Jamaica, that race on August 6th, you know, people are really looking forward to a massive Independence present. And to be, you know, beaten by Tyson Gay on Independence Day, people really took it badly, and we're looking forward to that meet in Belgium. So from that standpoint, they're disappointed. But the fact that he's injured and has to leave the circuit, I suppose they do understand.
Are there any worries long-term about this injury?
You've got to wonder if it is just a short-term injury. It's a good question you ask, because I mean, Usain is just 23, and the kind of injury that we're hearing about coming out of Munich, it's not something that a lot of people recover from fully. You know, they never normally get back to their best. If you look at history and look at the injury, the lower back injury, it's not one that you want to really, really suffer as an athlete. And we're hoping again, you know, hope that he gets back to full fitness. He has a full season or a full, you know, 9 or so months. You know, before he really gets back into real competition in August next year. Let's hope. But, I mean, it's a bit worrying. The lower back injury thing is a bit worrying.
Next, the former 400 metres world champion Antonio Pettigrew has been found dead in his car. He was 42. Pettigrew was a member of the 4x400 metre relay squad for the US when they won the gold at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. But the IOC stripped Pettigrew and his teammates of their medals after he admitted to doping during a trial against his former coach, Trevor Graham. And as our athletics correspondent Mike Costello explains, in recent years Pettigrew worked at the University of North Carolina.
They say he was found dead in Chatham County earlier today. He'd been working as an assistant coach in track and field athletics at the university, and a spokesman for the college said that his body was discovered in his own car. The cause of death hasn't yet been established. The school's athletics director, Dick Badur, has issued a statement saying that they're still learning the circumstances and are deeply saddened to learn of Antonio Pettigrew's death. He said he was particularly impressed with the relationships that Pettigrew established with his student athletes and the pride he took in the job, and that their deepest condolences go out to Antonio's family, particularly his wife and his son.
Well, it has since emerged. The local police chief has revealed there was evidence Pettigrew had taken sleeping pills, but it's still unclear whether his death was suicide or accidental. On the football, the Chelsea defender Ricardo Carvalho is set to sign for Real Madrid. Both teams have announced that a deal has been agreed for the Portugal international, who spent 6 years at Stamford Bridge. The 32-year-old will team up once again with José Mourinho at Real Madrid. Mourinho, of course, and Carvalho worked previously at Porto and Chelsea. Carvalho has signed a 2-year deal. Aston Villa continue their search for a new manager following Martin O'Neill's sudden resignation after 4 years in charge at Villa Park. It's believed he had a disagreement with American owner Randy Lerner over the amount of money available for new players. And a day after his departure, Lerner's right-hand man at Villa has publicly criticised O'Neill. The BBC's Pat Murphy explains.
General Charles Krulak regularly posts his views on Villa's fortunes on the Villa Talk website. It's not an official club outlet, more a forum for the fans, and his comments invariably echo Lerner's views. He wrote that no one is bigger than the club, not Randy Lerner, Martin O'Neill, the chief executive Paul Faulkner, or himself, but apparently only three of those understood that fact. General Krulak said that O'Neill was well aware of the need to bring wages in line with revenue, but the reality was that the wage-to-revenue issue was not addressed, and, I quote, Martin apparently was unwilling to help address it. He quit. end quote. Krulak added that there was no row between O'Neill and Lerner, that alleged transfers of Brad Friedel and Ashley Young were never discussed, and denied that the chairman has lost interest in Aston Villa.
The England midfielder Steven Gerrard says he won't blame the fans if they decide to boo the team during Wednesday's friendly against Hungary at Wembley. It's their first match since being knocked out of the World Cup in the second round. That, of course, followed a humiliating 4-1 defeat by Germany in South Africa. And Gerrard, who will captain England, says he's expecting the crowd to express their disappointment.
I'm sure there will be boos at times, but we have to deal with that. We have to be men and take it on the chin. We deserve it. We let them down in the summer. So, yeah, we have to get on with that, and hopefully with time we can show them that we are a good team, that there is a big togetherness there, and we are desperate to make them happy in the future.
If you were going to that game tomorrow, Stephen, as a fan, not a player, would you boo England?
Yeah, probably would, yeah.
Elsewhere, Ivory Coast have beaten the 2006 world champions Italy 1-0 in their first match since the World Cup, Colo Touré scoring the winner. The match was played at Upton Park, the home of the English Premier League side West Ham. The result is a blow to Italy's new head coach Cesare Prandelli, who is taking charge of the team for the first time. Next to tennis, and Roger Federer has won on his return, playing for the first time since losing in the Wimbledon quarter-finals. The world number three overcame Juan Ignacio Chela in straight sets at the ATP World Tour Masters 1000 event in Toronto. Watching for the BBC was David Law.
He simply looked happy to be back. 6 weeks to rest and recuperate after his most disappointing Grand Slam performances since 2004 seemed to have done the trick. There were no signs of the injuries that afflicted him at Wimbledon, only a single wobble of confidence and concentration while serving for the first set at 5-3, and a general feeling that Federer still believes that he's capable of being the very best in the world. His opponent, Juan Ignacio Chela, gave everything he had, but under the guidance of new trial coach Paul Anacone, who helped Pete Sampras in his latter years, Federer was just too good for the Argentine, winning through in straight sets. Elsewhere, Andy Roddick was forced to withdraw from the tournament because of illness, and there were losses for the 10th and 11th seeds David Ferrer and Marin Cilic, but Thomas Berdych and Robin Söderling both went through.
On to basketball, the NBA has been defending the choice of teams for their first ever regular season game in Europe. That'll take place in England next March. The Toronto Raptors will face the New Jersey Nets at the O2 Arena in London, though neither side made the playoffs last season. The LA Lakers, the reigning champions, will feature in a series of pre-season games in London in October. That will also involve the New York Knicks and Minnesota Timberwolves. Chicago Bulls have played in London previously and were a huge draw, as they included the British star Luol Deng. Well, Sophie Goldschmidt is the senior vice president of NBA London, and explained why the Bulls were not part of their thinking for next year's historic first.
We did bring them over last year. But
not for a meaningful game.
Not for a meaningful game, but we hope to at some point in the future. I mean, I think we have to take a lot of different things into account when we look at which teams are going to be bringing over, make sure it works for their schedules, because obviously just logistically there's a lot that goes into bringing regular seasons to a market. But we're thrilled to be bringing these teams over.
Sophie Goldschmidt with the BBC's Nick Cosgrove. Some cricket news for you. New Zealand have thrashed India in the first match of a triangular one-day series in Dambulla. They won by 200 runs. The Black Caps, batting first, were all out for 288. Ross Taylor made 95, Scott Cyrus 89. In reply, India 88 all out. Before we go, a reminder that the World and Olympic 100 and 200 metre champion Usain Bolt has been ruled out for the rest of the season with a back injury. And that's the latest BBC Sport.
Now witness, and it's 70 years since the Battle of Britain changed the course of the Second World War. Simon Watts.